But let's take a look at the woman who fears the Lord in relation to the poor and needy, or we might say outsiders. We see in verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Now what we see here is that the woman who fears the Lord is not just a domestic woman. She was concerned about others. She was concerned about the poor and needy, the less fortunate. And as I said before, the picture we get here is of a family that's well off. They're prosperous. But yet they don't turn their backs to the poor. It's not just about acquiring. It's not just about their own prosperity. It's about giving. It's about serving. Looking to the needs of others. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we see the Apostle Paul bidding farewell to the Ephesian elders, the leaders in the church at Ephesus. And right toward the end of his speech, and there's so much that we could say about this speech or this message that he gives to them, but right at the end, he talks about the poor. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It's more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, the Gospels don't record that for us. We don't see that statement, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." I mean, you could take it, Jesus says as much many times in many different places, but we don't have that exact quote in the Gospels. But notice what Paul says. We must help the weak. We must help the poor and needy. And that's a responsibility that we have as Christians. It's a responsibility that we have as human beings. Jesus said, "You'll always have the poor among you." And so we need to take a vested interest in caring for the needs of the poor. Paul said the same thing and something very similar in Galatians 2:10. He said, "Remember the poor. Don't forget the poor." And we see here that with the woman of noble character, she was a blessing to everyone. It started with her family, with her husband, with her children. But that was also given. That blessing was also given to the poor and needy. Let's take a look at the qualities of the woman who fears the Lord. We've looked at her relationships. Now let's look at the qualities or the characteristics of the woman who fears the Lord. Number one, she's hardworking. By now, that goes without saying. We get this throughout the whole passage, all 22 verses. This wasn't a woman that sat around and watched TV all day. This was not a woman that was a gossip, a busybody. We see that she was working hard all day long. And the Bible tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever God sets before you, do it with all your might. Work hard. This is true for everyone. It's not just for mothers. It's not just for women. It's for everyone. Kids, adults, the elderly. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I want to read verses 17 to 24. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." So we have a lot of household instructions here. We have fathers, we have children, we have husbands, we have wives. And then in verse 22, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Remember at the first church that I served at in Ohio, there was this dear old lady, and she was just such a blessing to us, and we're still in touch with her. But she talked about early on in her life, and I think it was shortly after she became a Christian. She was doing house cleaning, and she was kind of debating whether she should, you know, clean in all the different areas, all the different spaces, even in the corner, behind the couch, behind the chair, where nobody sees. And she decided after reading this passage that she was going to do every corner of the house. It was going to take her a longer time, but she was going to do it. Why? Because she was doing it unto the Lord. She was going to do it with all her might, all her strength. She was going to work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And I thought that was such a great illustration. The woman who fears the Lord is a hard-working woman. Number two, she's industrious and entrepreneurial. Now, even though her husband was the primary breadwinner, that did not mean that she did not contribute financially to the family. Take a look at verses 15 and 16. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And there's other passages later on. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. We see that she's very industrious, very entrepreneurial. And of course, this was before our time. We live in a world where the majority of families are dual income. That's just the reality. We don't have as many stay-at-home moms. In fact, that whole term, that idea of stay-at-home mom, that's new to the world. But here we see that she did everything she could to prosper her family, to give them an advantage. She was industrious. She sold things. She made things. So she was industrious. She was hardworking. And number three, she has strength and dignity. Remember, a friend of mine, this goes back to my college days, but she was, we'll call her a cowgirl. She grew up on a farm. She was pretty tough. You wouldn't want to mess with her. But I remember we were at college in the cafeteria, and somehow we started talking about Proverbs 31, and she talked about how she liked that verse, I think it's verse 17, where it says that her arms are strong. She's got strong arms, and this girl, she had strong arms, let me tell you. But is that what it means here from verse 25, she has strength and dignity? I think the idea is more that she's honorable, she's respectable, she's upright. It has to do with character. Now, if you're hardworking and you do all these things that she's doing, you're probably going to get stronger arms. But again, the idea here is more about character. And obviously, there's a lot of women who are hardworking and industrious, but that doesn't mean that they're women of character. They don't necessarily go together. It doesn't mean that they're virtuous. It doesn't mean that they're of good rapport. But the woman who fears the Lord is a woman of character. Always. In every instance. Take a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, I want to read verses 3 to 5. And what's going on here in this passage, the first part of Titus chapter 2, is you have the Apostle Paul telling Titus that there's a need for mentoring and discipleship within the church. Older men have a responsibility to train up younger men and to model godliness. And older women, same thing. They have a responsibility to mentor and disciple and train younger women. And that's often lost in our churches today. It's unfortunate. But listen to this. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So we see there older women have a responsibility, especially toward younger women. They're to model those godly lives, those lives that are full of character, purity, self-controlled, those kind of things. So she has strength and dignity. She is a woman of character. She's a godly woman. Fourthly, she's confident. She's a confident woman. What is she confident in? Well, two things. Number one, her God. And number two, herself. I have to clarify something very important because we live in a world that where we often hear about self-confidence, we hear about self-esteem. And often what the world is talking about is simply pride, vanity. Very worldly ideas. It's kind of like, look at me. Look at how great I am. Look at what I have to offer. That's not what we're talking about here. This is all about God confidence. Take a look at verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household. Verse 25, she laughs at the time to come. There's a confidence there. She's prepared. Why on earth would this woman fear the future? We live in a world where, along with pride and vanity and all those things, there's also a lot of fear. People fear the future, the unknown. But this woman doesn't, because she trusts God and she works hard at all that she does. She knows that God will take care of her. She knows that God will take care of her family. She has self-confidence because she has God confidence. And they go together. If you just have self-confidence, then you're missing something very important. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." See, Paul had a confidence. I'm sure of this. And friends, all Christians can have that confidence because it's not in ourselves, it's in the Lord. He's faithful and true. His promises are guaranteed to come to pass. Take a look at verse 26. It says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom." So fifthly, she is wise. As I mentioned earlier, this is a big theme, maybe the primary theme, in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Friends, true wisdom comes from God. We can learn from other people. It's wise to listen and to take what we can from the people around us. But true wisdom comes from God. And obviously, the woman of noble character has it. She's a wise woman, and this allows her to counsel others. She points people to Christ. She tells them exactly what they need to hear. Again, we see that she's a blessing to those around her. It starts with her family, but it's passed on to others as well. She's wise. And then lastly, she's kind. Take a look at again at verse 26. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. This is a kind woman. This is a gentle woman. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So she's the opposite of mean-spirited. She builds people up. She doesn't tear them down. Well, what's the conclusion to the matter? How do we land? Where do we end this? Go back to verse 29. Not only are these the last verses in the chapter, they're also the last verses in this whole book of Proverbs. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, what does the world value today in a woman? What are those things that the world most looks to? Probably more than anything else, we would say charm and beauty. Those are the kinds of ladies that end up on the magazine covers. Those are the kind that end up in the movies, and on and on. Everywhere we go, we see that kind of woman. But the question is, what's really important? What does God truly value? It's right there in verse 30. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That is the critical matter. The world looks on the outside. The world looks on appearance. That's what's valued. But God looks on the heart. And there's a big difference. God is asking, does she have virtue? Does she have character? Does she have integrity and dignity and love? What that all is simply true beauty. It's the hidden person of the heart. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 to 5. It says this, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. You see the contrast there. Don't let your adorning be external. Let it be internal. And the question that every woman needs to ask, and in some ways every man, is who are we trying to please? If we're trying to impress the world, then it's going to be the outward appearance. It's going to be what's external. But if we're trying to please the Lord, it's going to be completely different. We're going to be concerned about purity and godliness and holiness, the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Friends, it all stems back to the fear of the Lord. Everything that she is and has comes as a result of her fear of the Lord. The Bible says, but this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Friends, this is true of the godly woman. It's also true of the godly man. They all fear God. They all tremble at His word. And so mothers, wives, women in general, do you fear God? Don't be asking, do I match up to this woman? Remember, she's just a type. She's the ideal woman. But ask yourself, do I fear God? Because that's where it starts. And men, ask yourself the same question. Do I fear the Lord God Almighty? Friends, this is not about perfection. This is not about being the perfect mother, the perfect wife. We all know that there was only ever one perfect person, and that's Jesus Christ. We all fall over and over and over again. We sin every single day of our lives. And that's why we must look to Him for all our needs. We must look to Him for our salvation. And we must value and treasure Christ above all else. It's such a blessing to have good and godly mothers. But friends, I'm not here to point you to your mother or to any other woman, any other person. By all means, honor her and thank her today and every day. But friends, my job as a preacher of the gospel is to point you to Jesus Christ and His saving power. He's the only one who is worthy of our praise. He's the only one who has the power to save. Look to Him. Look away from the world and look to Him. Look away from yourself. Look away from other people. Look to Him. He'll never let you down. He's the only one that can give you hope. He's the only one who can heal you and forgive you of your sins. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. May we look to Him. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this passage, which is so instructive when it comes to how to live, what a godly woman looks like. Father, we want to serve You. We want to serve You well, but we know that we can't do this in our own strength. We know that at the end of the day, we're failures. We know that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for His sufficiency to save. And so we look to Him even this very moment. Be at work in our hearts. Be at work in our church. Glorify Your name. Amen.